This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to ENN, a radio vehicle only, so I can do it the way it's intended to be done, fully in the nude. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Wait, what's that poster? Rabbi Khan? What is that? 87-87, Peter. 9 minutes left in the fourth.
Oh, I'm watching right now. Well, I'm watching. We're talking about the Pacers and Heat game one, by the way, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
So that's, yeah. Oh, well. Oh, yeah.
When did that happen?
That happened when we found out that, I guess, what was it, DeGrom was going to be out? Oh, that's right, Stroman, that's right. The injuries pile up. That wasn't even the opt-out, that was the injury.
Can I get that one more time, RJ?
So, that's, yeah. Oh, well. Oh, yeah.
It's almost as good, RJ, if you could dial up Michael's commentary of the basketball game yesterday. Really a second career ahead of him, potentially.
The three-pointer, around the rim and out. That's brilliant.
And also, for anyone who's joining the show late, you'll never believe who we heard from earlier. Some know him as Bennett, but listeners know him like this.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
There's no way that Anthony, a kid with a Fordham degree, heard Stench when the kid said Bennett. I fireable offense.
I mean, what are we doing? Like, from a call screening standpoint, if it's that difficult to hear, then how we live in here?
Is Gundling on the phone today or no, RJ? I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, so. I want to do something here. I want to bring in... Normally, we bring him in for the to be the commissioner of Last One Standing. Right. But in this case, I'd like to bring in Andrew Gundling, who has been dealing with the difficulties of call screening for a very, very long time. And maybe Andrew could speak to how someone named Bennett could become Stench. Any thoughts, Andrew?
It can definitely happen. It's a weird one. For sure, because they're not that similar, but it can absolutely happen. And I'm guessing that Anthony, like myself, I repeat everyone's name back to them. So if they don't correct me, then like I always say, well, that's what you are now. So I'm guessing Anthony did that, and maybe Bennett never corrected him.
So you're saying that he said, hey, my name's Bennett. Anthony went, oh, okay, Stench, got you. And he said, yep. And he went, all right, that's right. Before we go on the air, your name is Stench, right? And well, Bennett's like, yep, sounds good.
We all know Anthony. We all know that he's level-headed, he's smart. Stench is a weird name. I can't imagine him hearing that and not repeating it back at least once just to make sure that's what he heard.
Now, is it like that? What's that frequency word? That some people hear it differently than others. What was that word? Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Green dress, blue dress.
Right.
The audio green dress, blue dress.
So is Bennett and Stench that kind of, like, some people hear it as Bennett and some people hear it as Stench?
Yeah, I hear a lot of noise in Andrew's house. What's going on there, Andrew?
I'm holding Luke as we speak. He's really? In my arms. It's because this is bath time. So Jack.
Speaking of
bath,
Stench.
Bye, Stench.
All right. Bye, Luke. Bye, Andrew. Thank you.
See ya.
Wow. It sounds fun there.
Oh, man. Everyone's parenting and working at the same time.
But that's because a couple of years down the line, Luke will be watching Sniper Wolf.
Not that long from now. By the way, that's what I'm going to be doing later tonight. Now, I was trying to think of the right way to give the example for this, and I realized I'd get it wrong. I was thinking of Warren Beatty's ex-wife, who I wanted to call Annette Stench, but her name's not Bennett, it's Benning.
Also, it's his wife, it's not his ex-wife.
Sorry, it's been a long time for Hollywood. Wow, good for them. You can understand the assumption.
Because it's Warren Beatty?
No, just, Hollywood couples, But they were not. They weren't each other's first marriages, right? That was second marriages.
Well, I mean, Warren has quite the back of the baseball card. I'm not quite sure of everything.
I mean, some would say it's one of the great backs of a baseball card of all time.
It might be,
right?
Yeah, Madonna. Oh, sure. Yeah,
that's not the best. That's not the highest. I don't think that's the highest part of the card. The card's very full. There was conversations around Halle Berry when that movie came out too.
Halle Berry's been posting some pictures lately.
Oh yeah. Well, you made a lot of time between the Sniper Wolf and Halle Berry. Or, as you call her, Triple H, Halle Berry. Who's famous in the name Bennett, who we can now call Stench? That's the question. Something to think about.
When Brouncher's daughter fills her diaper.
Yeah, Stench Brouncher, which was, we call her dad, that.
Fernando Tatis Jr. Was all over the news today. The Rangers not pleased yesterday when the Padres youngster missed a take sign and swung on a 3-0 pitch for a grand slam. They were already up 7 runs. Make that an 11-run lead. And the Rangers showed their displeasure by throwing the next pitch behind Manny Machado.
Because Manny Machado had something to do with it. What a weird game.
Let's hear from Jace Tingler, who apparently is a manager in baseball. Is he the Rangers manager?
Yeah, he's the Padres manager.
The Padres manager. So here's the Padres manager and adult film star, Jace Tingler, talking about Tatis.
Probably starts with just, you know, picking up the sign. I think like the learning opportunity. And just so you know, a lot of our guys have green light, you know, 3-0. But, you know, in this game in particular, you know, we had a little bit of a comfortable lead. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, run up the score or anything like that. And so, you know, put on the take sign and you know, probably see a strike right there.
Weak.
So it's okay for him to take that and then swing at the 3-1 pitch. I mean, just think how ludicrous that is. Because there's no way you tell a guy who's swinging 3-1 not to swing with any authority, right? He's going to swing the bat the way he swings the bat. So that one pitch makes the difference.
And obviously, he saw home run all over it. He knew what he was doing. He wanted to hit a home run.
Good for him. He should. You know what? He didn't even style around the bases either.
No. Can you imagine being that good at baseball that, like, it's 3-0 late in the game, so you're not, like, you're probably not aggressively thinking about swinging. But you see a ball that you can so quickly decide is such a meatball that you're like, I'm taking this out.
Yeah, well, that's what makes him a great player. And you're asking him to spit at that because it might humiliate the opposition. I mean, can't we be big boys here? I mean, I don't get it ever because I think it's the entertainment business and they're professionals. You should be able to handle it. But in an untimed game where anything can happen, why are you taking days off? Then let's just have a mercy rule. Let's walk off the field. You're going to beat us. We're done. I'm throwing meatballs up there, and I'm going to cry if you hit it. So, you know, I'm just going to walk off the field.
94-90, 6.5 to go between the Heat and the Pacers. Of course, I picked the Pacers. Michael picked the Heat.
Who's leading?
The lead would go to the Miami Heat right now. Sorry, 94-90.
So it's just winning? We're not
making
it
96-90 Pacers.
What was the number? You should do the spread.
We didn't do the spread. We did it straight up.
But yeah, we went straight up. But now Miami with a 6-point lead, 6 minutes to go. Guys, guess who's getting another shot at Major League Baseball?
Denny McClain.
Incorrect. Matthew Bartholomew Harvey.
That's right. Called up by the Royals, right?
Called up by the Royals of all teams. Of course, you could argue it all ended right there against the Royals in the 2015 World Series when Harvey wanted to stay out there after throwing 100 pitches. It didn't go well. It wasn't what you wanted, and neither has his career since then. He's now played for the Reds, the Angels, signed a minor league contract with the A's, and now he'll be a Royal. So he's going to be on the 40-man roster, supposedly by tomorrow in time for their doubleheader against his former team, the Reds.
Well, any chance? I hope he makes more of this chance than he did the first one.
So weird. What a bizarre. I'm telling you, underrated 30 for 30 is the Matt Harvey story.
I think it's a feature film.
To go from those heights in New York that quickly to being a minor leaguer trying to make it must be insane. Mm.
I see Jake Gyllenhaal.
You go Gyllenhaal.
Isn't Gyllenhaal also going to play Joe Namath?
Yes.
Well, first of all, Gyllenhaal is Gyllenhaal. And
is
second
true?
Of all, I have heard that. Him as Namath is beautiful.
Nobody could play Namath.
What's
sorry.
The story? What's the actual Namath story? Like, is it specific?
What's the story?
Yeah, it's all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
The stuff that Don and I have begged him to tell us.
God, you wish. Wouldn't that be great? Hey, let's hear from Nick Saban talking about football. And you'll never guess where he's going with this. My prediction is it's about how players want to play.
Football!
Yes,
football! They're playing football!
Thanks, Coach.
A lot of the players really want to play. I think the key to the drill is they do have to make sacrifices, but we all have to make sacrifices. I think the good news is this is probably not going to last forever. You know, maybe in 6 months or so we'll have, you know, some kind of a vaccine or whatever. But, you know, what I worry about, and I think a lot of parents worry about, that's my experience, is, you know, we don't spend a lot of time thinking about what happens if we don't play. You know, players are in isolation. They're not a part of the structure of the organization that they're used to. And how's that going to impact their chances of being successful, their mindset, whether it's academic or personal? So I think, you know, you have to kind of look at both sides of this, trying to balance it, trying to help them become safe.
Now, let me follow that up with this story about the SEC, just to get you guys going. The SEC has released some guidelines for their football schedule. The SEC will require face coverings for all fans and workers attending games. According to the health and safety guidelines put forth by the conference Tuesday, schools will be able to determine how many fans can attend games based on state and local guidelines. Tailgating will also be left to the discretion of schools, as well as team walks, like Auburn's Tiger Walk, where the team walks the sea of tailgaters to the stadium. All ticketing, though, will be digitally scanned. So there's that. And traditional water fountains, prohibited. So don't worry about any water being no danger on the water fountains, but everything else kind of up in the air, guys.
So here's what we're going. First of all, we're going to punch the coronavirus right in his face, okay? We're going to stagger it. We're going to stagger the corona. Then we're going to take out all the water.
Right in his gut.
We're going to take out all the water fountains. We're going to scan all the tickets. I don't know what that means, but they told me that it's going to be safe. And then we're going to punch the coronavirus in the face again. And we're going to play some football.
That's right. Football and punching. So
we haven't checked in with Freddie Kitchens about this.
That's a good question. I mean, he would certainly have thoughts, I'd imagine, on the coronavirus and what one would do. And whether it's even a good idea to bring back football. So. You know, I was listening to your program, Michael.
Program
Dom and the Jewish feller. I was listening to your program because now that I'm up here working on the Giants as the tight ends coach or the wide receivers coach, whatever they have me doing. And I'm going to tell you something about the coronavirus. It reminds me of a story my daddy told me when I was just a boy. He said, son, when you go to school, you might get the chicken pox. All right? And my daddy was an odd duck because he got the chicken pox 4 separate times.
Oh, wow.
Which I'd never heard of before. And some used to call him a leper. But we said, you don't say those words. Anyways, my daddy said, if one of them other kids in school gives you the chicken pox, and you bring the chicken pox home, and you give the chicken pox to your brother Eddie Kitchens.
Because, Eddie Kitchens?
Yeah, mom and dad always prefer Eddie Kitchens.
And they said, Freddie and Eddie.
That's right. Uh-huh. And they said, if you bring the chicken pox home to your brother Eddie, you're going to have a problem. We're going to send you to school. You're going to find the kid who gave you them chicken pox. And you go punch him right in the face.
Wow.
And that's the same approach I have to this coronavid virus. I'm gonna punch it in the face. And furthermore, if the COVID comes from me, it comes from my football players, my family, my dog, anyone I know, guess what I'm gonna do, COVID-19? I'm okay.
Is it true your sister's name is Letty?
Don't be ridiculous, Mike, okay? My family's not trash. Freddie Key.
Good to hear from him, huh, Don?
It really was.
I love that he calls me the Jewish feller. It makes me feel like he really knows me.
Can you just imagine Freddie Kitchens, you know, worked hard with the tight ends with the Giants over in East Rutherford.
Driving home.
Drives back home. Just, I'm going to pop on the radio. I heard there's a radio show that people are talking about. And he hears that.
And by the way, the fact that it's a real possibility now is really, really amusing.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coach K has spoken.
Mike K, right. They call him.
Let's hear from Coach K on KJZ talking about how bad it would be for the NCAA to miss another March Madness.
We're the thing that the NCAA is most concerned about because men's college basketball in the tournament pays for something like 98% of the – it produces 98% or more of the money for the NCAA, not college football or any other sport. So, yeah, we need to have the tournament. We can't have it where 2 years in a row you do not have the NCAA tournament. And, guys, I think that's where you should start is make sure we have the tournament. Doesn't make any difference when it is because we don't even know when the NBA season is going to be next year. And we should look at them to see how they navigate the waters, you know, going forward. They've navigated it really well with the bubble. And they do have – they don't have the NBA. They have Adam Silver. And that's what I'm saying is what we really need in college basketball.
See, I understand what he's saying. They really need it because of the incredible financial losses. But if it can't be done, it can't be done. I think you could bubble up an NCAA tournament, but how are you going to get the teams? Are they going to play a regular season to get to a field of 68?
That's a really good question. How do you get there without a full season?
Right. I mean,
you just make it up.
68 teams off the top of your head, just on what could. You can't bubble the whole season.
And you can't. It's not like you can take the teams from the last time they played either.
Right.
Because some of those guys are already gone. Do you think that stat's right? That the dance. 98% of the money the NCAA makes?
If Mike K said it, it's true.
I'm not calling him a liar. Just
it's an astounding amount.
I mean, you've got the championship games in college football. I mean, all those bowl games.
Wait,
I would not be surprised if it means more, but 98%, that's...
I think that the difference might be that the NCAA tournament is spread amongst all the schools. And the college football championship, I don't know if it's specifically like that, where every single school that plays football gets a piece of it. I'm just guessing, but I think that's what he means. So I think it's more a situation where it's evenly spread out in basketball.
But, Michael, real quick, I want to get to the story on LeBron and Carmelo. Of course, they are matching up tonight. Lakers, Blazers. Don is very interested, yet he won't tell us why. Unless the Blazers force a game seven. That's right. But listen to the story that LeBron retold, the story of him saving Carmelo Anthony in the water many years ago. And he told the story during the presser.
I don't know. I just knew that he was not back at the boat with the rest of us. And so I went out looking for him. Through the grace of God and through strength and not being afraid of the water, was able to, you know, help him back to the boat. So it was the only thing that was on my mind at that point in time was getting my brother back to the ball.
Did you think he was in danger when you were looking for him?
I seen the current was a little bit stronger than what it first started at. Where we were, I don't know, it's a blessing, honestly. You know, we all talked about it, and he told me that, you know, he felt like I saved his life, and really know what to say, to be honest. I'm just happy he's still here, obviously.
I got to tell you guys this, okay? Let's say we all of our families, we went out on a boat trip. And you know how I love both of you to death. I'm not that great of a swimmer. So if I saw that one of you was overboard and flailing, and I couldn't save you, I wouldn't even try.
Wouldn't even try?
No, because then it would be two people gone.
Well, good news, Michael. The Heat have extended to a 12-point lead.
Right.
Edging towards a minute and a half left, so.
So we're even.
Even up.
Looks like we're going to be all square.
Love
even
it.
Steven. So not that that's not an important story. But it sounds like LeBron James will talk about anything but actual basketball.
He loves talking about other things.
Yeah, I mean, now's the time that I can ask him about that, you know, eighth grade math test that he struggled with or something. Like, he just, because you weren't, I don't know if you heard the one, Michael, about, he's talking about his fantasy team.
Yeah, fantasy. We did that. That was yesterday, right? Was that yesterday? Last week. Yeah.
It was yesterday, but I'm not sure if Michael was on or not. But it just, it's interesting that he just, I think he's... Just a guess, he might be struggling with this just a little bit. And I wouldn't blame him. I probably would be too.
He said that. I mean, he said that he finds the bubble weird. Don, it's one of the reasons tonight, there are so many storylines tonight. I mean, if you think about who Portland was early in the season, they really underachieved. We were all waiting for them to wake up. They signed Carmelo Anthony, and he sort of gave them a jolt, and then they got into the picture. And it became clear that if they went on a run, they could sneak in. Then as we found out about the bubble, Damian Lillard was talking about not going to the bubble and saying he wasn't interested in going if they wouldn't have a legitimate chance at making the playoffs. Now they're here. They're playing great. Lillard has become a top six player in the league. I mean, literally the highest echelon player. He's playing out of his mind. They have Nurkic this year. And then you have LeBron and the Lakers, who are down players. And LeBron has talked about things being sort of weird
right,
for the team inside the bubble.
That's why we both have been on the same page about this pandemic and this bubble and everything that's going on is a huge X factor. That we may look back when this is all over and say, wow, how did we think it was going to be normal? Like, you look at the Bucks losing today. You can't look at that as a normal playoff series because that game would have been in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Right? And maybe being in Milwaukee, sleepwalking through the first game with the home court advantage, they would have found a way to squeeze out a win. But on a neutral site, with them maybe being a little distracted, Orlando probably doesn't even think they belong there in the first place, and that's the difference from a win. You know, so,
how about this, though, Don? It can also go completely the other direction. If that game was in Milwaukee and Orlando had stolen one of the first two in Milwaukee, think about how Orlando might be feeling right now.
Right. So that's
why instead, it's all neutral.
Out.
Doesn't really matter. They could just drop four straight.
Right. But normally, we'd be talking about the Bucks losing game one, it being devastating because literally the Magic would have taken home court advantage.
Right.
Right there. But they didn't. They're going to play. It's a neutral site. So I think it's less devastating for Milwaukee, but I think it's eye-opening to the fact that can these teams, like the Lakers, like the Clippers, like the Bucks, just flip a switch after really not caring for eight games? And now you're going up against the Portland team. Yes, they're probably exhausted, but they've literally played nine playoff games. Every game has been so desperately important. So their playoffs started 2 weeks ago. The Lakers' playoffs are starting tonight.
Yeah, it's a great point too, Don. They've really been playing for the playoffs since they got there.
Yeah, so... And like you said, it's a team that went to the conference final last year, so it's not like they're your typical low seed. They've got experience. They've got one of the top five players in the league. I don't think they're winning this series, but I would not be surprised if the Lakers have to work a bit, and does that hurt them down the road? Because LeBron's no spring chicken, right? So if he's got to play six, seven games in the first round and say, you know, the Clippers don't, then is that an advantage if by the time they get to the conference final or to the finals, they played maybe three, four games more than their opposition?
Kristaps Porzingis ejected in the third quarter of the game one loss for the Mavs last night. Let's hear from Kristaps.
Let's
get his thoughts.
I understand. We got into it a little bit, and I saw him getting into Luka's face, and I didn't like that. That's why I reacted. But yeah, that's a smart thing to do from their part. I just got to be smarter and control my emotions next time, especially on the first one. I understand the second one, but the first one, even though I felt like it was a clean block, they're probably going to call that tech for throwing a hand every time. So I just got to be smart and not let my emotions get the better of me.
Hey, that's he's growing up in front of our very eyes.
What could have been? What might have been?
But wouldn't have
been.
But
will never be.
And wouldn't have been if it was here. Feels like he's developing into the real player now that, I mean, granted, yesterday wasn't necessarily a great example. And guess what? I mean, they ended up getting the dream scenario. Remember how we, I can't believe I hadn't really thought about it this way until now, Don. Do you remember how many times we had the conversation on this show that Porzingis was more Robin than Batman?
Yeah.
And now he has it.
There you go.
Doncic is Batman. He's Robin. He got it. At first, it was like, oh, he's going to be the star. It became clear he's a really good player, but he's more like the second star. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That's what they have at Dallas, and that team is very, very good.
Very good. God, it's so much more wide open than it's ever been. Like, and
I was thinking about Dallas, that you never know what they could do.
You know. What could Houston do? What can Denver do? Portland? You know, now with the Bucks losing, I don't think that they're going to lose to Orlando, but just anything can happen. Now Boston suffered an injury. It's going to be fun. It's and we thought this from the very beginning, Peter. In hockey and basketball, those championships will be legit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think they're all going to be legit at the end of the day. But you know, you're seeing that. God, it's a lot to have to go through.
Gordon Hayward will miss 4 weeks with an ankle injury. Got twisted while trying to box out Joel Embiid, and accidentally the universe had Hayward get hurt because it's supposed to be the Sixers who always get hurt. However, when it comes to the Celtics, feels like it is Hayward somewhat often. So he will be out, Don, unless the Celtics make the finals, right?
No, conference final.
Conference final? A month would be the conference finals? Yeah, every series is 2 weeks, right?
It can be 2 weeks. I don't know how different it is now with the schedule with everybody.
It's still every other day, though.
Bubble. Yeah, but they're pretty obnoxious sometimes with the early rounds where you're getting like 2-3 days off and all that, but with no travel.
That is true.
I don't know if it's I love the afternoon games. Now, the ratings may dictate something different, but I think with a lot of people still kind of home, people aren't completely 9-to-5 anymore. You get that kind of college basketball tournament buzz with these afternoon games. You do.
That will do it for ENN on this lovely, lovely New York Tuesday.
It is a gorgeous day. No humidity, low 80s, just a beautiful summer day. And hopefully everybody can enjoy it with us. So if you're driving home or just sitting out by the pool, listening on the app, we appreciate you choosing us. We really do.
We sure do.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.